this is highly contentious now. The civil liberties types love Section 230 because it gives people who run websites complete carte blanche. You can start a website to encourage discussion of anything, and you let the discussion go, and except for your own words that you may insert somewhere, you know, you don't have to worry about being sued. Section 230 will always protect you. But you've got the Ken Zarin case. You've got a bunch of other cases that, you know, that we talk about. The mother who had some child pornography in which her son had been forced to participate, being peddled on in an AOL chat room with AOL's full knowledge, and she was unable to collect any damages from AOL because AOL was not responsible for the movie under Section 230, because, you know, what people were doing, what people were swapping around on that site was not AOL's problem under Section 230, even though they knew about it, even though she'd complained about it. Same thing with Ken Zarin. They didn't knew about it, they complained about it. You've got the United Airlines case. You've got the Siegenthaler case. You know, yeah, to remove disincentives for the development and utilization of blocking and filtering technology. Congress moved to remove disincentives for the development and blocking and filtering technologies, but the way they did it actually created no incentive at all there were no longer any disincentives, but there weren't any incentives either. Right, a reasonable incentive for doing it was that somebody might sue you if you put up bad stuff, right? But that section, you know, the main section there says you're not liable, so there's no incentive. You would have hoped, and Congress surely did hope, that in a state of freedom, that market forces or common morality or something would lead them to help people like Ken Zarin and Mrs. Doe with her abused child. But it turned out there were very few of them, and there were lots of other work to be done, and so they had no incentive for being helpful.
Why can't reputation be an incentive? Like, the New York Times monitors, like, all its comments, and people read them more, I think, because they're not, like, you know, I'm here, or, like, something, you know.
Right, so the question is sort of, you know, why isn't the world converging against AOL because of cases like that? And that's a sort of, and, you know, and demanding that AOL act more like Prodigy said it was going to act. And that's a business question. That's a question about market forces and human behavior and why people do one thing and another thing. And it appears AOL, obviously, this is not the best example because they haven't flourished, but I don't think it had anything to do with Mrs. Doe and Ken Zarin, their failure, because those are, I think, just very isolated cases. Yeah.
Could it, from a business standpoint, be more, they might decide that keeping users' anonymity is more important, and that might be better for the business.
Well, that's a sound argument, which they might, you know, if those are horrible cases, but if they tried to resolve those cases by saying, you know, we're going to keep track of everybody is, and anytime we think somebody's doing something bad, we're going to call the cops about it, you know, then they could lose a lot of their customers who were just fearful about the anonymity problem. here's Slashdot, which has all kinds of
stuff that matters.
All kinds of stuff that matters. Okay, so let's just go down here. So here we are. So this was published 4:19 p.m. today. Why developers are switching to Max? 286 comments. 286 comments since 4:19 p.m. That's 3 hours ago. Who could possibly? How could they possibly? And this is an extremely dynamic.
Right.
I mean, this everybody reads.
Yeah. And forget the comments. I mean, just the statement that programmers are switching to Max. Let's say that somebody felt they were really damaged by that. There's nothing they can do about it. They can't tell them take that down.
Where do we legislate that people shouldn't write bad books?
There you go.
Right?
It's a good question.
Books or that boring are, books.
Or, really disgusting books. Or yeah. Books that, there are laws against libel.
Slander.
See, this feels different because this is so conversational somehow. And it's so, I don't think you probably want the Boston Globe deciding whether somebody who posts a statement about this gay marriage thing. My issue is that our fascist state government will not allow citizens to decide by a vote whether that's relevant or not. Or, I just pick this example because you can imagine, all of the junk that's in here along with some comments that are actually...
Right, but you're thinking of this as like blog posts, but what about I'm just an ISP and I'm one-in-one internet and you want to have a website? Right? Now, as one-in-one internet, I have no response. You can have a website that says anything. I might have some rule that says, but I can have a website, that says Harry Lewis is a jerk, whatever.
Or, or please sign up here if you want to overthrow the government of the United States.
Right, or kill all black people. You can have a white supremacist website if you want to have it. And the ISP is not liable, right? But what happens, so forget the blog post thing because you might have a little solution there, but not for that. So we have no mechanism now to say that's really causing harm. Take it down. But we do to say I might lose some royalties because it's my song. That just seems sort of stupid.
Yeah, so I think that's a great point at which to conclude. This is not easy. And, what's happened in the copyright case is that there's huge, pressure from some very profitable corporations with a lot of political influence to get a law that's very, very protective, of them. And there's no similar pressure on Congress to do anything about this. And there's, given the rate at which Congress tends to screw up laws when they do write them. I'll finish with just that one. We might prefer that Congress not try to
write any laws.
Get this. So the problem here was that the clause in telecommunications laws about harassing telephone calls, which has been in the telephone legislation since the 1930s. Didn't apply to voice over IP like Skype. So Congress wrote a law to fix that, and they wrote into this Violence Against Women Action, which criminalized originating telephone communications or other types of communications that are transmitted by the internet without disclosing identity with intent to annoy, abuse, threaten, or harass any person. So they swept, they said, let's just stop with voice over IP, which is a particular protocol, just make a general thing. Let's say you can't use the internet, to annoy people, which left the people who run the annoy.com website, which you can go to, and actually isn't very bad, but it's got lots of stuff on it that annoy lots of people, apparently now doing a criminal act by allowing people to post annoying messages. But that then the reason is that, a one-on-one communication where I call Peggy and harass her, you know, reasonably enough, shouldn't matter whether I'm using Skype or using, you know, my Verizon landline. But, you know, they screwed up the language here somehow, and they in an attempt to be general, they swept too many things under the umbrella. So it's hard to get these things right, and, you know, as I say, Section 230 was written, I think, it was written in conference committee, never debated on the floor of the, you know, either House of Congress, and they sure didn't look around the corner about where it was going.